Ladies and gentlemen, lovers of Texas and of liberty, it's time for the show that celebrates the spirit of Alamo. Here's your Texan in chief, it's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, it's the entire show. For well over a decade, I've covered the charges lodged at Ken Paxton over the misnamed purposely by the press and enemies securities fraud issue. No fraud in it. For all that time, the evidence has shown it to be a political revenge issue. And I've said that the reason, and there's all kinds of stuff, I won't have time to catch up on that, but all the delay and the reason it hadn't come to trial, I've said that that is because it was being used by Paxton enemies as a political weapon. That was true. Ultimately, I said, the case would fall apart, even if it had to wait till an appeal after a conviction, because remember, the big delay all these years was getting it moved to be before a Democrat jury. And I said, look, you go before a jury, anything can happen, 50-50, you get it for a bunch of Democrats, you may get a conviction, but eventually this case is going to fall apart, even if it has to wait until appeal. Well, it didn't even have to come to that. The case was so weak from day one that charges were dropped today. I'll give you as much a refresher as time allows and say again that there are a whole bunch of state representatives and senators and people who keep talking about this old thing, and they need to beg forgiveness because nobody's sinless in this. Paxton hasn't lived his life perfectly either. But a whole bunch of people out impugning somebody's character in a case they were too lazy to ever read anything about, and I know that personally to be the case. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with the drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star story of the day, which again is the whole show today. Let's start, and we'll use the version from Forbes magazine today, since Steve Forbes is in Lubbock today for a little presentation at the Free Market Institute at Texas Tech this evening, Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. I backed Steve Forbes back when he ran for president, not the Texas guy in the primary. Securities fraud charges against Texas AG Ken Paxton dropped in deal with prosecutors, avoiding trial after 9 years. Now, folks, this issue goes all the way back 20 years ago, 2004. The charges came out in 2014, then indictment in 2015. Here's how Ty Roush, writing for Forbes, writes. Prosecutors agreed Tuesday to drop securities fraud charges against Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, ending a felony case that followed him for nearly a decade. Following allegations, Paxton solicited investors for a Texas-based technology firm, without disclosing he was being paid a commission. And by the way, the beginning of this case was very dangerous for all of us who have been in sales and marketing, because there were all kinds of claims that, you know, he wasn't a full-time securities guy. He's a lawyer. He's just recommending others, and their little bunch of legislators had a little investment club going, and then some other friends and people you meet making recommendations. And all of a sudden, by the claims they made in this, those of us that maybe we're given a commission or maybe given a trip or a free dinner or something for, you know, what we call bird dogging sales. In other words, handing sales leads to people or recommending something, we would all be guilty of felonies too. It's quite amazing what all was involved in this. Now, this deal that they've made, a bunch of people are going to try to tell you, well, see, he's guilty of something. He wouldn't have made the deal. No, you got to be kidding. I mean, it's time for this to go. They've dropped the charges. And in return, he's going to go to some legal ethics classes and do some community service. It's the stuff you get, you know, for if you did spray painted something or something, or whatever, graffiti. And he was happy to term, his attorney, Dan Cogdell, said, hey, he's happy to agree to the terms of the dismissal. Why not? Get rid of this thing. It's been the biggest weight around millstone on his neck all these years. He did not admit to any wrongdoing and did not enter any plea, and he's going to pay some money, significant money to these two guys that were part of their little investment club. What's funny about that is one of these folks himself was found guilty of actually doing some of the things he accused Paxton of doing, and I think it was about registering as a securities professional or something like that. Paxton was indicted on securities fraud charges in 2015, months into Paxton's first term as attorney general. Prosecutors claim Paxton brought in $840,000 from investors to Severgy, which then allegedly compensated Paxton with shares of the company worth an estimated $100,000, according to the Dallas Morning News. The feds, Securities and Exchange Commission, filed charges against Paxton's too. Those were dismissed by a federal judge. I want to go through this with you, and the problem we've got is time. I have spent all day assembling things. Lots not on the internet anymore. I had to go back to my show notes every day from way back then, and we're just going to try to get through as much, and I'm going to skip over a lot just so that I can give you the full idea of the case. Here was the story today by Taylor Goldenstein at the Hearst Papers. It's the excuses. You know, well, here's why prosecutors in Paxton's fraud case may have agreed to a deal. Let me give you some of the highlights here. Again, Paxton was accused in 2015 by persuading former state rep. Yeah, this guy was himself part of a little investment club. He was at one of the worst rhinos we've ever had out of Corsicana. We worked forever to get rid of this guy, state rep Byron Cook, and also Florida businessman Joel Hochberg. I said they, well, he told us, recommended this company, you know, to buy stock in. And then later, they years later, decided to go after Paxton. So, well, he didn't tell us he had stock in it. They're right. The case was always going to be a difficult one to win in court. Really, that's not what these two special prosecutors said over and over and over. They said it was a slam dunk. They had the media telling you this. Oh, but Kent Schaefer, one of the two special persecutors who withdrew from the case last month because he realized he wasn't ever going to get paid the kind of money. Folks, there's people that were behind this inside the Collin County Courthouse, the judge that broke the law and leaked the indictment to the New York Times and all these Paxton enemies in a Collin County, you know, GOP feud split, the conservatives versus the establishment liberal Republicans. All this stuff was going on. They paid these guys a massive amount of money. And you'll recall many of the stories that we covered were about the fight over them getting paid. In fact, some judge finally said they got to pay them all this money, even though it's completely outside of the law of what the Collin County policy is to pay special prosecutors. But Collin County doesn't have to pay them. And to this date, they're saying, no, we're not going to pay for this because we didn't agree to this. Anyway, here you got Kent Schaefer, who until last month, was one of the two special persecutors, these big, rich, well-known lawyers. The case was always going to be a difficult one to win in court, said former special prosecutor Schaefer. Now, listen to this. I told you that these were de minimis, minimal violations. To not fill a form out from the state because you thought your federal form was sufficient, in other words, Paxton had registered, he thought you had to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's who governs most of this. Think about this. This is what the prosecutor's telling you now after all these years of telling you, oh, he's a big felon. To not fill a form out from the state because you thought your federal form was sufficient, and it was sufficient up until 3 months ago. See, the law changed during all this. So Wendell Paxton wasn't just not professional or knowing things. Schaefer said, referring to the charge for failing to register as an investment advisor, quote, you know, some jurors may feel kind of like, look, nobody got harmed. You didn't do it correctly. He did pay a civil penalty. He's been punished enough. That's from Schaefer, who withdrew from the case recently, folks. Again, he backed out of the case after a judge in Harris County, Democrat Harris County, decided the trial could move forward, even though the dispute over pay, really big pay for these special prosecutors, had not been settled. In other words, they'd be trying the case without knowing whether they were going to get paid.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
Over the past decade, dozens of Pratt on Texas listeners have become part of a unique family of Dr. Sylvia Zuniga's dental practice in Costa Rica. Many have returned, taking friends and family. The high level of personal service given our listeners by Dr. Zuniga is amazing. From your initial no-cost, no-obligation inquiry, you'll be talking directly to Dr. Zuniga to determine your needs and answer questions. That direct contact never ends. It's as if you were among the super wealthy with your own specialist on call. Click the Dental Care banner at PrattOnTexas.com to get started.
From Reagan to Biden, Bill Clements to Greg Abbott, here's a host who has been involved in it all while being self-employed and fighting government overreach, too. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Let's get in our time machine and go back to the 2nd of May in 2014, a story by Jay Root at the Texas Tribune. This was the big story. This whole Paxton thing, they thought was going to be their first successful, well, they thought they were going to get Governor Perry, but their first successful scalp of a powerful Republican in Texas as the left-wing group came about, became a big news organization. Jay Root working for the Tribune at the time. Paxton violated securities law, gets reprimand. This is a year before the indictment. Here's part of the story. Under the order from the Texas State Securities Board, Paxton was reprimanded and fined $1,000. And again, that's for not filling out that form and registering with the state when he was registered with the feds, and it had just become the rule within a quarter. He's also required from now on to disclose in writing his paid solicitor relationship to any clients he refers to an investment advisor. In other words, he was not acting as an investment advisor. He was simply referring people to one. This is why all of us that work on commissions and things were very concerned about the claims in this case. The state board says any action taken by the state securities board undertakes the only considerations of the facts of the case. The agency does not consider any extrinsic factors, said a spokesman there. The order speaks for itself. Paxton, way back then, waived his right to appeal the order, signed it, and got on down the way. A spokesman, Anthony Holmes, said the campaign took immediate action and proactively communicated the Texas Tribune's questions to the state board. We asked the board to treat us like every other citizen of the state and that they take all necessary time to review our filings due to an administrative oversight. We paid an administrative fine of $1,000, and it was done, right? That is in 2014. Now, the story goes on at the Tribune because, again, they're trying to destroy a conservative. They go into what I've told you forever, that all this started with Dan Branch of Dallas, state rep. And they were in a runoff for attorney general. Paxton versus, and you remember, big, this Collin County's conservatives versus Dallas County's rich, moderate Kay Bailey Hutchison types in the statewide runoff. And then Branch was out popping all this up, saying these transgressions, which began way back in 2004, represented repeated illegal behavior by Ken Paxton, violation of laws to protect Texans, blah, blah, blah. In his statement, Branch said Paxton should break his silence and address whether he's broken federal securities laws and blah, blah. In other words, this was a big campaign issue. I've told you that. Here's a little bit of a collection of stories giving you a feel for that. Railroad Commission Chairman Barry Smitherman, remember him? He ran for Attorney General, too, and he was from Midland, way back against Cornyn, when Cornyn won the Attorney General's office. I worked for, I campaigned for Smitherman at that time, not because he's a West Texan mainly, not Cornyn. Smitherman endorses former primary opponent Branch for Attorney General, and they repeat this. Well, the AG Paxton was fined by $1,000 by the State Securities Board. Again, it was a de minimis thing because he just didn't fill out a piece of paper. And then you had, that was May 8th, 2014, May 12th, 2014, analysis by Ross Ramsey at the Texas Tribune. In Attorney General race, a familiar story. Here's part of a very long story about how this is really all part of the political divide. It happened in 1998 when Barry Williamson and John Cornyn went to a runoff that ended with a come-from-behind victory for Cornyn, who's now a U.S. Senator. It appears to be happening again in this month's runoff between State Senator Ken Paxton of McKinney and State Representative Dan Branch of Dallas. Paxton finished first in March with 44.5% to Branch's 33.5%. In the first round of the 1998 race, Williamson, a railroad commissioner, finished 6 percentage points ahead of Cornyn, who resigned from the Supreme Court to run. Cornyn won the runoff, and the story just goes on telling you this is just this same old divide. And then you had a story from May 13, 2014. Young conservatives of Texas unleash attack ad against AG candidate Dan Branch, mocking his support for who? That lefty that took over House Speaker Joe Strauss. Then May 18th, this in the Dallas Morning News, candidates to replace Dan Branch in Texas House declined to endorse him for Attorney General. Now, it really starts getting nasty here because the Dallas Morning News was fully for Branch and the Kay Hutchison liberal wing of the Republican Party. Candidates to replace Dan Branch in the House for his House seat that were in a runoff would not endorse him for Attorney General. Lead sentence, neither of the Republican legislative candidates in what's become a bruising race to replace Dallas Rep. Dan Branch say whether they'll support Branch in his bid for Attorney General, was said at a KXAS NBC forum that they had. In other words, this just gets nastier. Their lack of endorsement's notable because Branch, a lawyer, has been a prominent figure in the district with large margins of victory since first winning there in 2002. He gave up that seat to try to move up to AG, but Paxton edged Branch in Dallas County in the first round, beating by 11 points. And you get down here later, and it was the Meyer versus Westcott contest, and it was just filthy nasty. It's fun to listen to. You know, Meyer's got Hutchison, Ross Perot, Henry Miller, all these. Westcott had Troy Aikman, the Cowboys quarterback, and Allie Beth Allman, and Banker Gerald Ford on his team. And you had all this. The Staubach family was split on this, and it was nasty. And they're lying about each other. There's a big story in the Dallas Morning News. It was giving you the background of where all this hateful stuff comes from. What was happening at the time was a huge divide in Dallas County and around there over the fact the city was moving to be more Democrat. You had the Republican, the moderate liberal Republicans, totally unaware of this stuff. I mean, they just didn't want to recognize it. And so they were continuing to back these Democrat-like candidates and people in Dallas and watching it fall apart, and it was getting nastier and nastier because all the north area of the growing metroplex was super conservative and electing conservatives, and it was just nasty within Dallas. That went all the way into the depths of the Republican Party apparatus. A friend of mine became party chairman back at this time, you know, in these eras and stuff. It was just nasty. Now, here you go to May 6th, 2014. Branch-led effort to defeat disclosure requirement. Jay Root and Edgar Walters at the Texas Tribune back in 2014. Remember, Dan Branch tried to play, oh, this Ken Paxton, he didn't fill out that paperwork. He's no good to be Attorney General because of the paperwork. But he has his own problem. State Rep. Dan Branch describes himself as a champion of transparent government in his party's runoff for Texas Attorney General. I'm a transparency guy, Branch said at a campaign event where he drew a contrast to his opponent, Ken Paxton, a McKinney senator who has been forced in recent weeks to acknowledge a series of ethics and regulatory disclosure lapses. One, I have a record of advancing open government. You all have to know what's going on. But they write, but during his freshman year in the Texas House, while employed as an attorney for a firm that hires lobbyists, Branch was the driving force behind an effort to prevent the disclosure of conflicts of interest that can arise when lawmakers work for firms that lobby the state legislature. Branch, who still works for the firm today, said through campaign aides that the 2003 measure was redundant and overly bureaucratic, which is why he and his Republican colleagues voted against it. Branch is an insider's insider. Paxton was coming out of the growing North Texas, north of Dallas, conservative area. These people hated him. They all hated all the conservatives, and they wanted to end their careers because they're the old establishment Republicans, and that story is emblematic of the divide. You know, they're actually championing things to prevent transparency, so we don't know all the money they're making and all their conflicts of interest while serving in the legislature. Then you had the New York Times, you know, got the big story. Ken Paxton impeached, accused of corruption. Texas Attorney General faces removal. How did that happen? Well, the indictment was supposedly sealed the week before, but a Collin County judge and his wife, apparently, who I had other judges, not just one, in that courthouse in McKinney that are conservatives, who were friends of mine, who were telling me what was going on, and I reported it on Pratt on Texas. You get more here than you do other places. He didn't ever get in big trouble for it, but he went and ran for the appeals court because he was not going to get reelected in Collin County as a district judge, and then he lost big and he's off the radar. He leaked it against the law because they're all part of this big liberal Republican rhino group and they wanted to damage Paxton. He leaked the indictment to the New York Times. That's why they broke the story. It's nasty.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Costa Rica is a world center for dentistry, and while there are many large clinics catering to Canadians, Americans, and Europeans with good prices, they still have the push-em-through maximize cash flow model. That's not what you'll find with our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga. With Dr. Zuniga, you'll be the patient, the center of attention for your entire stay, beginning from airport arrival until you leave for home. It's a level of care, a family in a sense, few've ever experienced. Click the Dental Care banner at PrattOnTexas.com to learn more.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
A bank with a triple threat. Now that's interesting. New Lubbock Leadership, a new branch in Palm Beach, Florida, and a checking account that offers 5.25% annual percentage yield. That's right, a checking account with rates like a CD from a bank that's been blocking out for you for over a century. That's smart. Vista Smart. Vista Bank, Texas owned and operated since 1912. Member FDIC.
Working to save Texas from the uninformed and the left. It's your voice of Texas, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. And then on August 3rd, 2015, after this indictment was announced, I wrote a column. Is A.G. Paxton's indictment purely political? Two respected criminal defense lawyers, one of whom successfully defended Tom DeLay acting as special prosecutors, have obtained an indictment of former state senator, now Texas Attorney General Paxton, on two charges of securities fraud and a charge of failing to register with the state securities board. The failing to register was already handled through administrative law. It's not legally double jeopardy, but morally so, I wrote. Brian Weiss and Kent Schaffer obtained the indictment from a Collin County grand jury. Now we move to the point where the accused actually gets some protections and his ability to tell his side and to cross-examine witnesses. Why didn't that happen for 9 years? Well, if you followed it and actually know what happens, it's because they kept asking to get to court in Collin County among his peers right away, but it's the prosecution who insisted on moving the trial over to Fort Worth and to Houston. They wanted to be in a Democrat jury. They wanted to be in a friendly judge's court, folks. You say, well, they moved trials. Yes, but that's always for prejudice against the defendant getting a fair trial. It is extraordinarily odd and rare to have the prosecution wanting to move a case so that they have a better chance at a conviction. That's un-American. And I ask in this, is this political operation most against conservative attorney Paxton similar to the Rick Perry case, or is there more to the story? The issues in this case have been long known and come mainly from a North Texas couple who lost some investment money and have been moaning about it for years, attempting to make Paxton a scapegoat for their decisions. So no, it's not just a political lawsuit, but the fact that such never gained traction with any prosecutor over the years until now probably is purely political. Then we get to some of the best reporting on this. The great John Cassidy, who was representing the Franklin Center in Texas under watchdog.org and was the best investigative reporter I've seen in my lifetime in Texas. That's now the Center Square Group. Paxton indicted on strange legal theory. Like the prosecutions of Tom DeLay and Rick Perry, the case against Attorney General Ken Paxton depends on a novel interpretation of state law. The two charges of fraud against Paxson don't involve misrepresentation on Paxson's part or any other violation of a clear principle. Rather, the prosecutors think Paxson should have volunteered more information about his own personal investments in the course of selling stock in a company and that his not doing so amounts to fraud. While the mainstream media covered the issue by running predictable quotes from Democrats and Republicans, the legal industry press zeroed in on the particular nature of the charges against Paxson. Under a headline regarding lawyers question Paxson's felony indictment, Texas lawyer led with the following paragraph. Attorneys with experience prosecuting and defending criminal securities matters are questioning what they say is strange wording. And by the way, this is no conservative publication, the Texas lawyer. Questioning what they say is strange wording and surprising allegations in three felony indictments against Texas Attorney General Ken Paxson. End quote. That was the lead. One expert the trade paper consulted called the prosecution's theory, quote, strange, end quote. I can't read you all this because we'll run out of time. I'll skip down. Former federal prosecutor and securities lawyer, well known, by the way, in the Lubbock area. I think he had been a federal prosecutor from the Northern District of Texas and worked in the Lubbock area. Former federal prosecutor and securities lawyer Bill Matea told the Texas lawyer that failure to register is usually considered a de minimis violation and handled as a civil matter, and that is how it was handled for Paxson. The two felony fraud counts are serious, though, each carrying a potential sentence of 99 years in prison. However, they're not so nearly so simple as they've been presented to the public. This is the 2015 article from the Watchdog. Now, let me skip to today's big headline in the Texas Tribune. The people who started all this up in the press to get the scalp. And now, all of a sudden, when it falls apart, which we knew, and they knew there was nothing to this in the beginning, here's your headlines. Legal experts say it's rare to pursue jail time in securities fraud cases like Paxton's. The subhead, in 2015, Paxson was indicted on three security fraud felony charges. Experts in securities fraud say those charges are rarely pursued. They ran this today, folks. I told you this stuff for a decade. These people, see, now they say, oh, we told all the truth. Yeah, you waited till the case fell apart to tell people that all your innuendo, and boy, the Dallas Morning News ended up being much worse, was a bunch of crap. So, back to this piece from way back then in 2015, August 4th, 2015, that Watchdog. Under state securities law, it's fraud to knowingly make any untrue statement of a material fact or to mislead a potential investor by omitting a state material to state a material fact that would affect his investment decision. Paxson isn't being accused of telling a lie, which is a factual question. He's being accused of the much more subjective charge of misleading investors by failing this couple, by failing to state, and I think Byron Cook, Representative Rhino Byron Cook, failing to state a material fact. Actually, the indictments just allege the failure to state a fact. They don't explain how anyone was misled, and that has to be part of it. It has to be something that might have changed their investment decision. Matea told the Texas lawyer, the former Fed, he had expected Paxson would be accused of making a fraudulent misrepresentation and that he was surprised by the actual indictment. Quote, they are saying that it was unlawful for him to fail to mention that he had not personally invested in a tech company called Severgy and he would be receiving compensation. If that by itself were found to be a crime, securities traders across the state could be facing criminal exposure every time they make a sale unless they take the unusual step of telling clients that they hadn't purchased the stock for their own portfolios. In other words, nobody, this was not something people knew you had to do. Paxson did have stock in Severgy, 100,000 shares, and it was reported on his disclosure form since 2011. Remember, we're reading in 2015. Prosecutors are apparently unclear about whether Paxson already held those shares when he solicited investors or whether he got them later, as they accuse him of failing to disclose to them that he would be compensated and had in fact received compensation, blah, blah, blah. So either he would be or he had been. What the newspapers miss is that this isn't an explicit violation of any law. It's the special prosecutor's opinion that Paxson should have volunteered this information, folks. They were hired. They were recruited. This whole thing was a political hit job in the conservative wing of the party. How dare you be the Kay Bailey Hutchison-backed, big-time wealthy Dallas, middle-of-the-road moderate Republican. That's what was going on. I'm telling you, that's my opinion. The evidence pretty well backs me up. The story went on. Bill Mattea, the former federal prosecutor, told the Texas lawyer, the question is, would these investors, would they have changed their minds based on knowing that information? This case is going to boil down to materiality. San Antonio attorney Cynthia Orr, who defends people against accused of securities violations, told the trade publication she found the allegation strange. Quote, how would it be material to an investor that Paxton had not invested, said Orr. I would attack it. How would it make someone invest where they would not invest had they known? Right. In other words, the people who were experts in this and the securities business itself nationally were very concerned about this case because it just opened up, it basically made everyday practices all under heavily regulated, you know, government rules at both the state and federal level, it made stuff that nobody ever thought to be illegal, illegal. Then you had the story August 3rd, 2015, Dallas Morning News. Paxton will plead not guilty, ask for a jury trial. Indictment signed last week and unsealed today say that in July 2011, Paxton, quote, engaged in fraud, end quote, by selling more than 100 grand of common stock in Severgy to both State Rep Byron Cook, that old snake slimeball of Corsicana, and Joel Hochberg without disclosing he would be compensated for their purchases, that he had already been paid. Again, how could it be compensation for that sale if he had already been given the 100,000 shares of stock by the owner of the company. But anyway, and it goes on. In a short statement released Monday afternoon, this is back in 2015, Paxton attorney Kendall said the AG will plead not guilty and demand a jury trial. He's looking for the opportunity to tell his side of the story. That is what happened. Despite what you think you've read, they tried and tried and tried to get this handled and get it before a jury. What happened was you had the special prosecutors going nutcase over this, trying to remove it from his home county and move it to a place where they had a better chance of winning. That and Collin County commissioners not wanting to be on the hook to pay for this political witch hunt were the two reasons this case was delayed, not Paxton.
It's the talk of Texas. Proud on Texas.
It is true. Many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs more attention, Mark Miller agrees, and he'd like to help. Mark Miller is with Edward Jones. Together, he'll give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by Edward Jones Financial Advisor Mark Miller's office at 3849 Oldham Lane, 3849 Oldham Lane in Abilene. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Are you looking to fence property for hunting leases or your cattle operation? Winters Dozer Service can grub, clear, and work that fence line to help your crew get in and get the job done safely. Get your big country farm or ranch project started by getting that fence line cleared with Winters Dozer Service. Winters Dozer Service has the equipment ready, so contact them or dig up more info by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
Warm weather evenings on the patio is a Texas tradition, and no one does it better or more tasty than Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse, and it's next to a lake with waterfall. You'll have access to comfortable surroundings, great service, premium liquors, beer, cordials, award-winning wine list, and great barbats food at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse all spring, summer, and fall. Meet friends and colleagues and enjoy quality time on the patio by the lake at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse.
Listening to Pratt should be required for all politicians and students. Remember, the learning never stops. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. There were other things you might have forgotten. They did such a bad job, they had to come back in the middle of August and re-indict him on these things because they screwed up a bunch of stuff. All that was, you can go back to Texas Tribune, August 18th, 2015. Then Lana Shadwick at Breitbart had a story in August of 2015, lawyers' tactics question, because this Ty Clevenger, some kind of lawyer there, admitted in a television interview he had contacted grand jurors asking them to investigate Paxton over all this. So these insider political people, there was all kinds of weird stuff going on that, in that case, you know, it's terribly unethical for an attorney to be contacting grand jurors. Judge tosses. Now, here was the big thing. They got the feds to file. May 2nd, 2017, Dallas Morning News, U.S. District Court Judge Amos Mazzott III, who's the expert in the federal system on these charges, on Thursday cleared Paxton, saying U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission failed to show it could prove he defrauded investors in a McKinney technology startup by not disclosing he was being paid a commission. The judge also ruled the federal agency did not show Paxton needed to be registered as a securities, quote, broker dealer, end quote, while he funneled these potential investors. In other words, he was just bird-dogging what we call in sales bird-dogging leads and sending them to an advisor. It's them, the advisor that sold him the stuff. He didn't sell him the securities. The question before the court is not whether Paxton should have disclosed his compensation agreement, but whether Paxton had a legal duty under federal securities law to disclose, the judge wrote. As alleged, Paxton's conduct simply does not give rise to liability under the federal securities laws as they exist today. That's the federal judge who's the expert on this in the whole federal system. Paxton said in that story in 2017 in the Morning News that it proved the charges against him are part of a politically motivated crusade perpetuated by opponents within his own party. I maintained all along the whole saga is a political witch hunt. It is. The case fell apart. When they were finally forced to go to trial, these special persecutors, ladies and gentlemen, when they were finally forced to go to trial in a court and jurisdiction of their choosing that it took massive amounts of our money and years to get so they would have a Democrat jury, they dropped the case and entered dropped the charges and entered a little agreement. He's going to pay a fine and do some community service. In other words, they dropped this thing like a hot potato when it came time that you were going to have to make a case. And now you have, in today's press, one of those two persecutors saying, look, this case, I mean, what are you going to do? Tell a juror that you want to put a guy in prison, you know, because he didn't fill out a form? Way back at the time, Tim Dunn, who was at that time chairman of Empower Texans and big Midland oil man and a great conservative that the press loves to demonize all the time, had a piece out, Paxton indictments an embarrassment to the Texas criminal justice system. And he mentioned something you see in very little reporting except the old watchdog reporting. Byron Cook waited 4 years to complain that Paxton supposedly violated securities law by encouraging him to invest in the McKinney company Severgy without explaining he was receiving compensation or disclosing that he did not personally invest. That's it. Cook is a wealthy and sophisticated investor who now claims he required information that was of such little importance at the time that he apparently didn't bother to ask about it. Now Cook wants Paxton to be convicted of a first-degree felony. Lawyers are rightly expressing skepticism about the case, and they talk about that lawyer that called this strange to the Texas lawyer. House coalition leaders have targeted a number of conservatives, right? And then we get to probably one of the best pieces of all, and again, the problem is I don't have the time in the show to read it to you. This is such a big story, I may make time on tomorrow's show if we're not overrun with more news. Lawyer Tony McDonald, a friend of mine, had a piece on August 1st, 2015, back when this indictment came out at the Texas Scorecard. Who is responsible for the Paxton probe? And he gets into this on the surface, Texans for Public Justice, this leftist group, has driven much of the action in the case, mostly the effort of one man, Craig McDonald, you've seen his name in the press, who worked as a liberal community organizer in the 1970s and is an alumnus of Ralph Nader's Public Citizen. McDonald and Texans for Public Justice have been accused of using lawfare. They were one of the early people to use lawfare to go after, funded by George Soros, to go after Republicans. It's a very good piece that goes into the detail of this. Again, I've had to go through all years and years searching, and these search things aren't very good, but searching my daily program notes to find all this for you. Oh, and there's another fun article from the 26th of August, 2015 by John Cassidy at thewatchdog.org that just takes apart and shows the Houston Chronicle people of being just liars trying to destroy Ken Paxton on a totally different matter. Chronicle botches kneecapping of Texas Attorney General. I sure miss Cassidy doing the work in Texas. You know, I've done this occasionally, sat down and just showed you why it's just such bull. Just fun to find that piece. I'd forgotten all about that. So maybe tomorrow, who is responsible for the Paxton probe? If you missed it, they've dropped the whole case that you've been telling is hovering over his head. I mean, he could go to jail. These would be felonies. He wouldn't be able to be Attorney General. Why do you think they held these for so long, folks? Why do you think they made a mockery of justice? I mean, and folks, this became nasty. I mean, the Fort Worth judge was a buddy of theirs and a known Paxton hater and a big liberal Republican. And he ended up getting, I mean, it was a big embarrassment when stuff came out, when they tried to move the case over there. He tried to declare he had full control over everything and all this. It was crazy. He's kind of off the radar now, too, just like that judge that ran this indictment machine and leaked it, a sealed indictment. never did get prosecuted, did he? And Collin County leaked it to the New York Times. This whole thing has been about the old liberalist, liberal, more liberal, not lefty, but establishment Republicans that are not comfortable with actual government reform. You know, the swamp swimmer types that love that kind of government. They don't care about us. They don't care about us COVID stuff or anything because they're wealthy. They can do whatever they want to. They get away with pretty much anything. They've never been happy with us. They don't like us. And this was back when the state, when they were still held a lot of the power in the Republican Party, and all of a sudden these suburban areas, now it's the exurban areas, but became very conservative and started electing people, and they started losing races, folks, and they were not going to have any of it. Ken Paxton, poster boy, because all this fight, more than Houston or anywhere, was centered in Dallas. Right there, how dare we're going to let some guy from over there in the Plano area, you know, in Collin County, beat our guy Dan Branch, who's, you know, nothing but a shill for the lobby and the lobby firms and all that kind of thing. And it's just been nasty. And I told you, I thought, yeah, if they take it to a jury, they might get a conviction just out of the fact that that's why they shopped it to a far-left Democrat court judge in Harris County. And it will be, just by numbers, probably a majority Democrat jury. But the case was so weak, folks, now that the judge said it can go to trial, they've announced today, that's it, we're giving up the ghost. We're going to, a little face-saving, we're going to have a pre-trial diversion agreement or whatever. That's not a plea of guilty in any way whatsoever, folks. It's not the same as taking a plea. This is a dropping of the charges by this 9-year-old persecution, just about 9 years old persecution. The story had gone on far before that, well over a year before that in the press. I've been covering it the whole time. And I told you, and I tell you what, there are a lot of other people in my business, people that worked at that old radio station, others, oh, no, because they don't know anything. They're just kids, and they get flattered when powerful people call them and talk to them or want to be on their show or want to give them some. They don't realize they're being used because they don't know anything. That is people that talk on the radio and like the attention. They hadn't been in this their whole life. I'm telling you, I said all this way back then. And I said it proudly and clearly what the situation was, and today it proved out to be true. Now, the press may be a little less honest over what really happened, but the facts are the facts. And now you got the Texas Tribune out today saying, you know, it's rare to pursue jail time in these kind of cases. Isn't that funny timing? No time to get to anything else. Thank you to Hub City Title, hubcitytitle.com. Use them if you're in Lubbock for sponsoring our look at Texas history. I don't have time to get to that today. Justice has come about, sort of. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.